Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining me right now, a fantasy football expert from the CBS Sports Network's another pregame show, Jeff Ratcliffe. Jeff, happy fantasy football eve to you, pal. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's exciting times. We have a rare 16-game slate, all games on the same day here tomorrow, so... Yeah, well, really gearing up for the NFL season.
What a waste tomorrow is, though, by the way. I mean, nobody plays. It's just a waste of time. It's for guys battling for the final spots on a roster, which I know matters, but for the most part, it's just, let's get this stupid game over with so we can watch real football next week.
Well, you say real football, but I always say the first 2 weeks of the season are pretty much the end of the preseason because it's never really that good in the first 2 weeks. But, yeah. I'm excited to see these guys. Every so often, though, people pop out. Like last year, Austin Eckler for the Los Angeles Chargers popped out in the fourth game of the preseason.
Right.
And he ended up making an impact. So every so often, if you're paying attention, you can find some guys.
Let me start at the top of tight ends because clearly Rob Gronkowski is the number one guy. And clearly with some of the questions at Patriot receiver, especially with Edelman out for the first four games, I mean, Gronk may be targeted an insane amount of time. But here's my fear with him. It's the risk of injury. It's the fact that you know, we've seen Gronk battle with injury so many times throughout his career. I know he was, for the most part, healthy last year, but you think back to 2 years ago where he missed half the year. Right now, at 29, he was even flirting with the idea of potentially retiring. Where's your stock on Rob Gronkowski right now?
I still have him highest, and I think, you know, if you're looking at fantasy drafts, you have to consider him in a 12-man league in the mid to late second round because, as you mentioned, I mean, he's a dominant force in a prime opportunity to see a ton of targets in that offense. When he's on the field, he's the ultimate mismatch for opposing defenses. He basically gives you wide receiver production out of a tight end, which is really rare, and especially considering the lack of depth at the position. So he's still, even though the injury concerns are real, the clear number one for me.
You know, with targets, how high can that number go because of the lack of receivers? I mean, he was targeted over 100 times last year. I mean, Brady loves throwing them the football anyway. But because of all the questions with Edelman missing the first four games, I mean, you look at a guy like Chris Hogan, he's probably his number one receiver right now. How high do you think that target number could actually go this year with him?
Well, I don't think we'd be looking at, you know, I always call a target monster at the wide receiver position. Any guy who's going to see about 9 targets per game, so that puts you right around 145 for the season. I think with Gronk, you're still looking at more like 120, which is still an enormous number for a tight end. But if he stays healthy, you're right. The wide receivers, I mean, you look at the group that he has beyond Julian Edelman, it's not really that much there. I mean, Chris Hogan is the guy. I mean, he's shown that he can put up some numbers, but he's also shown that he can't stay healthy per se. So there are major concerns, I think, that Brady's going to lean on the running backs out of the backfield and on Gronkowski.
You know, I think at times Jimmy Graham has burned people who maybe have selected him too early. He did get in the end zone 10 times last year, but this season he's got Aaron Rodgers throwing him the football. How good do you think Graham will be, and when do you jump on a guy like Jimmy Graham in your draft?
Well, I think he's actually overvalued in drafts because people do overvalue touchdowns. Touchdowns are a little bit harder to replicate year over year than targets, receptions, and yards. And when you look at what Graham did from a yardage standpoint, he really did not impress last year.
Yeah.
So you have Jordy Nelson. I mean, Jordy Nelson's he's out of the mix, so that's going to be a lot of red zone targets, but I'm just not that crazy about Jimmy Graham. I think he ends up getting overdrafted by a lot of folks.
Yeah, so yard-wise, because that was the thing about him last year. I mean, he had a weird fantasy year because, you know, he gets in the end zone 10 times, which is great, but his yardage was way down from the previous year. You don't think it takes a little bit of a bump getting to play with an all-time great like Aaron Rodgers? Where do you think that yardage number ends up then?
I don't think it's going to be that much higher than last year. So last year he didn't even crack the 600 mark. I think you'd be in the 600 range, but he's not a 1,000-yard tight end receiver. I mean, then again, how many – we see two or three guys
right.
do that a year.
Right.
But still, it's the name brand recognition. A lot of people, you know, they know the name. They draft the name a little bit earlier, plus the touchdowns. And the touchdowns are going to regress. I mean, we saw only three receivers. Graham, I'll count him as a receiver, not a wide receiver, but pass catcher, top double-digit touchdowns last year. It was Davante Adams and DeAndre Hopkins, the other two. Now he's going to play with Adams. So I think we see, you know, if I had to put the over-under, I think a fair over-under for Jimmy Graham might be 8.5, and I might just hit the under on that one.
Talking to Jeff Radcliffe, fantasy football expert, CBS Sports Network. A guy last year who was so impressive was O.J. Howard, in that he wasn't targeted often, but when he was, my God, he was as efficient as a human being can be. Do you think they will be more aggressive now with O.J. Howard instead of only being targeted, you know, 40 times like he was last year?
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I do not. You don't re-up Cameron Brate in the offseason to give more targets to O.J. Howard. The thing that Howard has that Brate doesn't is he is a better pass blocker, so
right.
He stays in just a little bit more in pass pro. Brate is not a pass blocker. He's a move tight end, so I don't think we see a dramatic increase, though. What I will say is to your point, O.J. Howard has a ton of upside. So maybe not in season-long leagues, but if you're playing in DFS and he comes in at a nice price throughout the season, you might look at him for some upside in the right matchups.
I wonder if, especially if you have a draft this week, if people are pushing down Evan Ingram because he was in the concussion protocol. It doesn't sound that serious, so if they do, that's great if you want to draft the guy. What are your thoughts on Ingram this year, especially with a healthy team, if Beckham is healthy, Saquon Barkley being a part of the mix, Sterling Shepard? I mean, Ingram at times was impressive last year, but a lot of guys were missing. We saw how many injuries the Giants had at wide receiver. Your impression on Evan Ingram?
I do think his volume takes a little bit of a hit, like you said here. You have all these guys on the field. Plus, I mean, Saquon's going to catch his out of the backfield. He's going to see a lot of targets. So that takes a lot of the meat off the bone there for Ingram. But I still think he's a top six option. You know, he's got a little he's kind of like a Jordan Reed, but so far has been able to stay healthy. I mean, since the concussion, I'm not worried about the concussion, though. That happens in the NFL. So he has that ability to be a mismatch at the tight end position. I just don't know if we're going to see as much, because Eli had nobody else to throw to for a good chunk of the season last year, but still like him as a top six option.
Give me, and there's a few I have in mind, but you're the expert. Give me a good sleeper, under-the-radar tight end I can find relatively late in my draft.
Well, I think the obvious answer, I don't know how much of a sleeper he is Trey Burton out in Chicago. He was given two opportunities to be the number one for Philly last season when Zach Ertz was out, and he was a tight end one both weeks. Now he is the guy there, and they're saying that he could threaten Martellus Bennett's receiving record. That was just over 900 yards. So that would be a big season for him. If you want to go a little bit deeper, there's a couple names that stand out. David Njoku, who has played well in the preseason for the Browns, and you can get him pretty late in drafts. And then George Kittle has really fallen because he missed most of the preseason with this shoulder injury, but he's going to be good to go for the regular season. And Jimmy Garoppolo and him have pretty good chemistry. So those guys do stand out for me.
I'll give you one. Tell me your thoughts on this. And I think it's always exciting when you hear that a tight end is a converted receiver. That's always something you want to hear. This kid in Arizona, Ricky Seals-Jones, what do you think of him? Is he worth drafting when, in your mind?
Well, he would be a late-round guy, and you're right, converted receiver, but basically he was destined to be an NFL tight end with his body type and his speed profile. But here's the difference in Arizona, and I like this call out here, because last year Bruce Arians never threw the tight ends. Like, that offense didn't know the tight ends even existed. Now you have a Mike McCoy offense, which tight ends have done a little bit better in that offense. So I think if you're looking at a late-round guy and maybe you drafted Gronk early and you're worried, you know, you just want a little bit of safety but some upside with that late-round pick, I don't mind taking Ricky Seals-Jones.
How about a guy like Jordan Reed, who when he's healthy, fine, fantastic, but he missed a big chunk of last year. You always have that concern. He's banged up right now. Though I think the last I read is he's probably going to play week one. That's fine. Would you be nervous about drafting Jordan Reed, and where should you draft him if you're going to take that risk that he's actually going to be healthy?
Yeah, I'm definitely nervous. I'm nervous he got hurt again while we're talking here, but I think I look at Jordan Reed as probably about the ninth tight end off the board, which, you know, essentially if you're in 12-man league, puts you in about the eighth or ninth round. And you're building into that. That price is based on the injury risk, because if he's fully healthy, he could be a top three. We've seen it before. He has been. But it's a big if with him. So if you drop Jordan Reed get yourself maybe a safer option to go along with him as well. You can't just draft one tight end, set it, and forget it.
Sure. With the Marquise Lee injury, do you think this helps at all the value of the former Jet Austin Seferian Jenkins, who's the number one tight end for Jacksonville?
I don't know if it's going to move any targets to him per se. I think the biggest beneficiary actually isn't Keelan Cole, but it might be Dante Moncrief there because he's going to slide into Lee's role. But I do like Seferian Jenkins as another one of those late-round guys who, you know, let's be clear here. I mean, he's done the right things off the field to put himself in a position to succeed on the field, and he's got a prime opportunity to be that clear number one pass catcher. And it is a favorable schedule for the tight end position there for Jacksonville. So another late-round guy you could look at.
Hey, playing the Giants week one. I mean, tight ends have done wonders against the Giants over the last couple of years. That could be a good weekly fantasy play right out of the gate.
Yeah, and I have bad news. It's not going to get any better with Alec Holmes there.
No, don't tell Giant fans that. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. Jeff, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much for the insight, my friend.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Jeff Ratcliffe, focusing on the tight ends, is get you set for your fantasy drafts this year. If you've already done it, or if you're doing one this week, one next week. Here's my thing with fantasy drafts. I do two now. I only want to do one. But the reason I do two is because Ernie convinced me to try an auction league, and I was fascinated by the idea of an auction league. So I joined it last year. I didn't care that much about the team, I got to be honest with you. But it was interesting to learn. And I think this year, again, same thing. It's such a different thing for me to be in auction league. So I look forward to that. But generally, I'm one. Same with baseball. Give me one league, that's it. Daily's a different story. Daily, you know, just pile up. But if you're in more than one, and a lot of people are, I'm in the minority on this, I'd get confused. I'd get confused. One week I'd be owning a guy while I'm playing a guy in another league. That'd bother me. I don't want to deal with that.
I'm also going to convince you that two QBs is the way to go.
I'm not convinced of that yet. I'm not convinced of that.
One QB devalues the position too much.
It does it does because a guy like Matt Ryan may not be drafted till the 12th round. How's that even normal? That's not normal.
And guys like Rodgers, Brady, they should be going the first couple of rounds.
You are right that that's what it does by making it a two QB league, that you put more value on quarterback. Because right now, if you're in a one QB league, which I am in the regular league I'm in, there isn't a lot of value to it. And my attitude going into the draft is that I'm basically going to ignore the position.
Especially in a year like this where it's so deep in QB. You can wait till 9th, 10th, 11th round to take one.
Oh, absolutely. No
and
doubt.
That's not the NFL. The NFL is QB-centric.
Well, a lot of things about fantasy, as much as I love it, is not real. Okay? That's one thing about it. What was that? What?
It's not real? What?
It's not real. Now, fantasy baseball is realer in terms of what the results are, back up what you just saw. In football, there's a different attitude. If you are ahead, your quarterback is probably not going to do that much damage late in the game. So you almost want your quarterback to be playing from behind a lot so they can just rack up yards. That's not real, is my point.
Right. In baseball, you probably want guys who are on good teams.
Yes. Yeah. So you can get wins or saves
or holds. If they're on a good offense, it helps to get more runs and RBIs.
Yeah. Or here's a great example, too, where you want to be on a good team. If Buster Posey is on the Yankees, is he having season-ending surgery?
No.
No, he's not. And so you get that kind of stuff as you get late in the year.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.